welcome. I'm Elliot. I'm going to be working with you today.
Hi, Shelley.
I know. How are you feeling, Shelley?
Okay, I guess. A little dazed.
Of course. I understand your death came as something of a shock to you.
Yeah, it was sudden. You know, I was just merging into the freeway.
Well, no one expects it. But we want this transition to be as painless a process as possible.
Great.
So let me just pull up your file here. Oh, and I see you were a human in this last incarnation.
That's right.
So let me just show you some options for your next life. I'll start with three of my favorites for your current level. This is a marmot. It's a sort of a large squirrel. It eats roots and berries, and it hibernates in winter, which if you've never done it, is definitely something to try.
Okay.
Now, if you'd rather not let go of your urban lifestyle, you might also be interested in becoming a pigeon. Pigeons are scavengers, so you'd be eating a lot of what humans have thrown away. And you'd be a female pigeon, so you'd produce what's called crop milk. That's a sort of nutritious secretion for your young.
It seems like these options are kind of, you know, shitty.
Well, it's all part of a continuum. You are definitely moving down, but that doesn't mean there aren't some great options.
Why am I moving down?
Well, that's not really my department. You'd have to take that up with one of my associates.
I mean, I think I was a pretty good person. I didn't steal or kill anybody.
Did you make many racist jokes?
No. I mean, not earnestly.
Ironically?
Well, yeah, ironically.
Yeah.
Do you think that was the determining factor?
Well, listen, it's not any one thing. It's a pretty complex algorithm. You know, if you're interested in having a short life so you can get back here pretty quickly, I might recommend a bee.
What kind of bee?
A drone.
A drone?
You know, serve the queen, protect the queen, fertilize the queen. Your penis gets torn off during mating, okay. And you die pretty fast after that.
Are there really no options for me as a human?
Humans. Let me see what we have. Okay, I can get you into an asthmatic cripple in Outer Mongolia.
I had asthma in this life.
It sucks, right?
It's so annoying.
Yeah. Okay. If we act fast, I can get you into a pretty healthy kid. But it's in Ohio.
Oh, God, really? Will I travel?
No.
Okay, well, I guess I'll do that one.
Great, let me set you up.
At least I wanted my penis torn off, right?
It is certainly less likely. But just so you know, we can't make guarantees.
Going to a little place now, baby. On a rocket ship. 400 million miles above the sunset strip. Get there soon. Oh yeah, we're going to the Lost Moon.
Welcome, fellow travelers, to the Lost Moon Radio Podcast. I'm Jupiter Jack, and as always, I'll be guiding today's journey from a cosmic studio on the lost moon of Jupiter, my deep space home since the early Carter administration. Back on Earth, you've just rung in a new year as the planet completes another lap around the sun. But there's another cycle that's renewing up here on the lost moon. That's because today happens to be my birthday. Now, I've got a few decades under my belt at this point, and with the exception of the year I was based out of a hammock in Harry Nilsson's front yard, I think I've lived a pretty full life. And because I'm feeling a little reflective, I thought I'd dedicate this set to the benchmark stages of the human life cycle, those moments and milestones that we all hit on the journey from the first hello to the last goodbye. Let's start at the very beginning.
Unborn baby, living in your mother's womb. Unborn baby, you're gonna be a person soon.
Baby, right now, you're just a ball of cells in your mama's uterus. What scientists call a multicellular diploid eukaryote. What will you become, unborn baby? Will you be a president? or an astronaut? Will you be a market analyst or a PR person? Maybe you'll write a food blog. Anyways, there are many things to be and do, unborn baby. And I'll be rooting for you, even though I don't know your mother terribly well. And I may or may not be your biological father, but I don't know, it's sort of complicated, all this human stuff. Well, you know what I mean soon enough, unborn baby. This world is tough without a doubt. Unborn baby. That's why you cry when you come out.
You know, we tend to romanticize childhood, but it has challenges and stresses all its own. Whether it's the first anxious day of school, or the first Little League at bat, or deciding whose shoebox is going to get your funniest Garfield Valentine. And just when you think you've got the whole childhood thing figured out, someone comes along and tells you it's time to start becoming an adult.
Mr. and Mrs. Feldman, so nice to meet you.
It's our pleasure.
The Kleins had the nicest things to say about you and your work.
We loved what you did with Kelsey's bat mitzvah.
Well, they're lovely people. Oh, and this must be David, the man himself, or man-to-be, I should say.
David, someone is speaking to you. The party planner is speaking to you, David.
Hi.
Not a big talker.
That's fine. Good to meet you, David. Well, all right, let's all just have a seat. So first thing, David, have you thought about what you might like the theme for your bar mitzvah to be?
We're actually having some trouble picking a theme.
Oh, well, David, just why don't we start with your interests? What do you like? What are you interested in?
Animals.
Oh, like pets?
No, he doesn't keep them as pets. He finds them in the yard or the woods behind the house, and he gives them these... What do you call them, David?
Surgeries.
And that's probably not a good theme for a bar mitzvah party, right? Surgeries on animals.
That's probably too specific.
That's what I was thinking. That's not a good theme.
Well, yeah. Well, let's get a few other ideas out there. Are there any other interests that you have, David?
Dictators.
Yes. He's very interested in Gaddafi, Idi Amin.
A Pol Pot?
Mobutu Sese Seko, some of these other, you know, despots.
They wouldn't let him form a club at his school.
And I can understand where the school is coming from, which makes me feel this also maybe not the best theme. Unless maybe a family you know has done something like that.
No. A dictator's theme? No. We've got a superhero's theme. Does David like superheroes?
No,
please. Stupid.
Okay, so we have dictators and surgeries. All right, well, you know what? We can just keep those for now and maybe sort of circle back to them if we need them. So any other interests, David? Any at all?
Now, pornography is not a good theme,
no,
right?
No, I don't think so.
Because he is interested in it.
But he takes those magazines with him everywhere.
You know, it's not a great theme.
Yeah, what I like about it is it's not a scary theme. Yeah,
well... We've got it if we need it.
Where do you live?
I live in Santa Monica, David.
What street?
David!
Stop it, please.
This is off the theme topic, but my wife and I have both really been wondering, is there sort of a minimum number of friends that a kid should have at his bar mitzvah party?
Honestly, you can have whatever number you really feel comfortable with.
Is one okay?
David has made a very good friend named Lyle.
They work really hard on their projects.
Lyle can suck my dick.
David! That is no way to talk about your friend!
Okay! So right now, I think our best theme is the surgeries. But I think maybe we can just wait and all think on it until we meet next week.
Great. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you so much for working with us.
Thanks a million.
I have one more question, if you have a minute. David keeps requesting that the event take place in a room with no doors, but you don't know of a place like this, do you?
We think it may be some sort of riddle.
I didn't have a bar mitzvah when I turned 13. For my 13th birthday present, the nuns at Our Lady of Grace gave me a pamphlet naming 7 required steps to get to heaven. So while the Jewish kids in my neighborhood were embarking on manhood and womanhood, I was making preparations for my death. Let's continue the cycle of life. With adolescence comes the urge to pair up and find that perfect match. For Sonny, it was Cher. For Cher, it was Greg Allman. And for Greg Allman, it was like a whole bunch of wives.
Sex on a mattress, sex on floor, sex on window, sex on a door, sex on forehead, sex on a knee, sex on caterpillar, sex on a bee, sex on freeway, sex on a pill, sex on a lunchbox, sex on a meal, sex on a pine cone, sex on a lamp, sex on a teacup, sex at camp. I wanna have sex. I wanna have sex. Sex on a taco, sex on a bear, sex on the ocean, sex on Delaware, sex on a trophy, sex on a twig, sex on an eyebrow, sex on a wig, sex on a copier, sex on a tree, sex on a freeway, sex on a me, sex on an email, sex on a jug, sex on a seesaw, sex on a bug. I wanna have sex. I wanna have sex. Sex on rodeo, sex on farm, sex on pumpkin, sex on arm, sex on submarine, sex on a boss, sex on planet, sex on a Ross, sex on a genius, sex on goat, sex on a buffalo, sex on a boat, sex on a painting, sex on a scroll, sex on a muffin top, sex on a hole. I wanna have sex. I wanna have sex. Sex on booklet, sex on a book, sex on a person, sex on a hook, sex on the Beatles, sex on a bug, sex on an outhouse, sex on a rug, sex on a pine cone, sex on a rug.
And now Julia will read the vows that she has written to John. Julia?
Johnny, I still remember the first day we met, that little coffee shop in Brooklyn. The leaves were turning outside the window, and you were this adorable man in that funny green coat who stood up to offer me his seat. I don't remember what we ended up talking about that day, but I do remember your smile, and I remember laughing. I couldn't have guessed then that I was talking to the deepest, richest love of my life. But I was, and you are, and I'm so happy to be standing here becoming your wife.
John. Just really glad to be here. And I didn't write the vows. Didn't get to the vows this week. I just want to echo everything Julia's saying. So cool. I see my family out here, your family. Everybody looks great. How much time do I have?
Long as you'd like.
Long as I like. Maybe we could bounce back to Julia. You got anything more, Jules?
The Bhagavad Gita tells us the most important thing is to learn to give out love and to let it come in. And that's what you've shown me, John. How to let love in.
Now I feel bad. Should have done the vows. That's my bad. That's John's bad. It wasn't that I forgot about them exactly. I just really underestimated how long they were going to take to write. Super busy week. I'm amazed you got to them, Julia. I'm loving everything that Julia's saying, and I'm all about this. Let's do this. Let's commit. Let's be there for one another. So open to that. Obviously, I got dressed up. I got the rings. Wait, where are the rings? Oh, that's right. Tom's got them. Tom's got the. Actually, that's it. Maybe we could skip ahead to the rings part.
Oh,
Julia's got more. Okay, okay.
Okay. You know, before my mother died, I asked her to give me her blessing to marry you, and she said that she didn't need to give it, that I'd already had it.
Fucking killing me. I'm sorry. It's beautiful, and you know John really screwed the pooch on this one. Okay, go on. Actually, I have an idea. Could we come back to this after dinner?
We both know love is hard. Sometimes I think that we ain't got that spark no more. It feels like we've been fighting forever.
Well, I know love don't have to be as hard as we are making it. It's time we made change for the better.
Baby, I've got a simple solution.
We gotta now change the things that we're doing.
We can learn to smile again by following this simple plan. Let's break up. Let's not waste our lives together. Let's break up. Love don't have to last forever.
Love to see the lights of Paris, London, and New York without you there beside me to ruin them.
I would like to take this ring and throw it down a sewer drain so I can date my tennis instructor.
Keep the car, I'll get me another.
Stay in the house, I'll live with my mother.
Anything to rise above the violent chain that is your love.
Cause you're only getting fatter.
Let's break up.
Could you sing that any flatter?
Let's break up. We can stop this saturation. Let's end the show so we can go our separate ways. It won't be easy. There'll be friends to inform. It'll probably send our kids into shock.
But that's a walk in the park compared to staying with you. So let's cut off all contact.
Our lawyers can talk. Oh yeah.
Thank you, lawyers.
Let's break up.
I could never stand your parents.
Let's break up.
I slept with your brother Clarence.
Let's break up. We don't have to stay the course. Let's divide our kids and money. Let's divide our kids and money. Let's divide our kids and money and get divorced.
Let's keep cycling forward here, shall we? After marriage and divorce comes middle age, which creeps up on you like a commercial block on FM radio. Your little deuce coupe turns into a Buick. Your favorite songs start turning up on oldies stations. The only Dr. John you're listening to is your proctologist. And eventually, you look across the table at all your friends and realize you're playing bridge. And then, well, the inevitable.
Mrs. Simmons, may I just begin by saying how very, very sorry I am for your loss.
Thank you.
I want you to know that we here at Green Pastures Funeral Home are committed to providing your husband with the most dignified of services.
Thank you very much.
There is the matter of the casket. Mm-hmm. Why don't we begin there? My recommendation is for the mahogany. It's solid hardwood, almond velvet interior, brass hardware, dignified. Elegant. It's priced at $2,995.
That sounds very nice.
So we'll do the mahogany.
But I think Daryl would have wanted something simpler. So why don't we do the pine?
The pine?
Yes.
I see. And now for the engraving, would you please spell for me the full name of the wife beater?
Excuse me?
Your abusive spouse, what was his name?
My husband never laid a hand on me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had just assumed since you decided on the pine casket.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, it's just that the pine casket, as opposed to, say, something elegant such as the mahogany, gives the impression that the deceased was a scoundrel or a layabout.
I think everyone in attendance knows just what kind of man Daryl was, and that the pine is a perfectly fine casket.
So we're staying with the pine.
Yes. Let's move on.
Certainly. Let's talk about the service itself. Now, which relatives will be speaking on behalf of the sex offender?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I meant to say husband, but I must have been looking at the word pine on my form, so I said the word sex offender. My mistake. Now, in the program, we usually print a hymn or a poem, but I assume in the case of Daryl's, you'll want to include a body limerick or a favorite speech of Hitler's.
Why would I want to include a speech of Hitler's?
I'm so sorry. I must be having some confusion about the casket. You said the mahogany, then.
No, the pine.
My mistake. Let's move on. Now, normally in the service, there's a point at which the mourners file past the casket for a viewing. But I find that with the pine casket, people tend to throw their garbage inside, so perhaps it would be better if they just remained in their seats.
I don't think people will be throwing garbage on Daryl.
Well, now you understand, it's not out of malice that they do it, it's out of confusion.
This is outrageous. I'm perfectly happy with the pine casket. I know it's what Daryl would have wanted, and frankly, I think he would have been appalled at the notion of paying $3,000 for a coffin!
Excuse me, I'm so sorry to interrupt, Mrs. Simmons. Monty, I need to place the order for the casket.
Yes, Miss Simmons would like the pine casket.
The pine casket?
That's right.
Yes, the pine.
Yes, I see. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Simmons. You're safe now. That terrible monster can never hurt you again.
Killian O'Flaherty was a local lad. He always started the party when many a pint was had. We hate to list his failings, but a few of them come to mind. He was a gambler, drunk, and a son of a bitch, so we buried him in the pine. The pine, the pine, we buried him in the pine. When he goes to meet the devil, he'll be traveling in the pine.
Well, folks, that's life. Strikes me now that this was maybe a slightly grim look at the human life cycle, but there's a lot of nice things about life, too, of course. There's no shortage of great music or great people. I mean, Alan's taking me out to dinner tonight. That's the kind of special moment that it's all about.
It costs me nothing. Denny's always gives me a free meal on your birthday.
Are you plugging Denny's on my podcast?
They're our commercial sponsor today, and that's where we're eating.
You know, the last time I ate at Denny's, I found an Advil in my waffle.
Do you want a free burger or not, Jack?
I want the burger.
Oh, well, look who's back. How was your life?
It was okay. I didn't travel, but I got married to a wonderful woman in Columbus.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But guess what? I did get my penis torn off.
Yeah, it happens more often than you'd think.